Oh, hey, Kate.
Hi, Ryan.
Oh, that sounded very breathy. That was very
It was
sensual.
breathy.
It was very sensual.
Who knew that being winded could be so sexy? This cup of tea really knocked it out of me.
This is gonna be a great one. I can feel it in my bones.
Can we just start the podcast? Because I need you to know what I purchased this week.
Yes, I need to know. Just read your bank account off to me, line by line.
Seriously. And I think that there are other people out there that will relate with night shopping, wherein you're either exhausted or for some of you are wasted. And you just make choices about purchases late in the wee hour of the evening, and then it appears at your door and as if in a fugue state, Christmas comes again. So yesterday this massive box was at the door, and I thought it was like something for I thought it was like wipes or something for Frankie, and it was not. It was light. And Nick was like, "What the hell's this?" And I was like, "I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's a gift." And we cracked it open, and it was 15, Ryan, 15 boxes of herbal tea. I don't even really drink herbal tea. Like, I don't understand. And it was like not. I'm
Oh
gonna
my
be. I'm gonna
God.
be honest. It wasn't even like really good stuff. It was like celestial seasonings, like garbage. Anyways, so I'm gonna drink it
Of course you are.
because it's better than drinking the amount of coffee I was drinking. But it was a fugue state celestial seasonings purchase, and here I am, winded.
Perfect.
How are you
Perfect.
doing?
I'm doing well. I just had a lovely call with one Jay Brown, for our little project, and yeah, I don't know. I'm feeling pretty good. I've had copious amounts of coffee. I almost made another cup. But then decided that that maybe wasn't the best idea.
Yeah, that was a good choice. I support it. So Pride, how happy Pride. Happy fucking Pride.
Happy Pride.
Like, why?
It's funny, like when I was a little kid. And by little kid, I mean like 12, like 13, 14, like just coming out of the closet. Like, I don't know, I remember going to Cleveland Pride and like it being this really awesome thing. I mean, part of it was just like it, you know, like, oh, look, all of these gay people. How fun. And I feel like it's just become less and less and less and less interesting as I've gotten older. I mean, partially because Pride has become very like sanitized, in most places, especially Boston, because it's just a bunch of banks walking down the street, and politicians, I didn't go to anything on Saturday because I was at a yoga thing out, like in Central Mass, and
What was the yoga thing?
it was just a retreat day, then as I was, you know, I was sort of like not in a mental headspace either Friday night or Saturday night to do anything, and was like being super reactive about getting texts being like, where are you? I'm like, fuck you all. I am not proud. But then Saturday, I or Sunday rather, I I calmed the fuck down and went to the block party and for just like 2 hours and saw some friends and ran into a bunch of people that I hadn't seen in a long while. It was very pleasant. And then I meandered back to Somerville and yeah, it was a mildly enjoyable time. I do think that it seems like the conversation around like who's allowed to be at Pride has gotten reached sort of a bit of a fever pitch this year, which is interesting to me. Like, is Pride for like who gets to be part of that community, who gets to celebrate, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
That's a really good question. That's super interesting.
And
Go
it
on, say more.
and I feel like it, you know, I feel like it's really interesting to, and I've been doing this with myself a lot lately, like to just catch myself when I'm looking, like when I'm walking down the street and I see a couple that appears to be straight, being like, and having, you know, whatever preconceptions that I have about that, being like, oh, actually, there's no way for me to know if those people identify as heterosexual. There's no way for me to know if they identify as straight. They could both be bisexual. They could be what, you know, there's no way for me to fundamentally know. All of these labels are like, in some ways, starting to fall apart, which I see as like a good thing because either we need to then get more specific about our languaging, because it, you know, there's a necessity to group people together, especially in the fight for rights. Because you can say like this fundamental group of people does not have rights, but like it doesn't change the fact that, you know, held within that group is a multitude of experiences. And so you know, and at the same time, like yes, Pride should be for whoever the fuck wants to show up at Pride. But I do think if you do identify as, you know, a straight, cisgendered sort of ally, even though I hate that word, like, you should know what space you're walking into. You know, like, that if you're there to be supportive, you're there to be supportive. But, you know, that's not always the case in queer spaces, when straight people show up. You know,
I just like why do straight people have to like it's hard because I'm sure that the impulse is to be like, I'm such an ally, I'm so supportive. And then there's part of it where it's like, and I want what you have too, but not the parts of it that are difficult.
Sure. I
This
mean
looks like fun. Give it to me.
there's a little bit of that, but like I also consider now like a whole generation of folks that grew up being parented by queer people. And like they should certainly be allowed to be at Pride and you know, anybody should be allowed to fucking come to Pride if they want to come to Pride. But I do think, you know, there is this kind of fine line in which part of the reason they feel comfortable to come to Pride is because it's mildly sanitized at this point.
A little bit antiseptic.
Yes, so it's a little bit like, are they there to be supportive, or is the fact that there are people who would identify as allies and not a part of the community as if my ability to be queer does not, you know, affect, you know, everybody else's own, you know, rights. In some way, shape, or form, which is that's to me is the problem of the term ally, is like, no, all of our shit is wrapped up in all of our shit. So like you can be supportive of a cause, but the word ally just doesn't seem right to me. It just, I don't know why. What was I saying? Yeah, there's just this fine line between
Antiseptic.
it feeling a little bit sterilized and then there's also this sort of weird you're always dealing with pride, especially amongst either people who are people who identify as gay men or people who of any place on the gender spectrum in which you would have been culturized as a man. There is still always this like whiplash of everyone's like super nice and it's all like happy pride, oh my god, I haven't seen you in so long, blah, blah, blah. But then there's also still the like undercurrent of like, who am I gonna fuck tonight? And then you put all of those people in like one square block of the city, and there's like both things are operating at the same time in a really, really fascinating way. That I just sort of had to be like, get to the point of like, no, you should go and see your friends, and then just know that like you can leave if you need to leave. And I didn't get a point to like, I have to go now. I was just like, no, okay, I saw everybody, I hung out, it was good. I enjoyed seeing all of these people. I had a drink, and now I'm going back to Somerville.
And then Nana retreated back to Somerville.
But I will admit to having been in what I was being very reactive, like all week about Pride. Very, like, extremely reactive. And, like, that, you know, those moments when you're aware of how reactive you're being, but there's no way to
There's
step on
nothing
the
you can do.
brake.
No,
You
I
just
know.
gotta let it run its course.
Yep. No, every there's like a couple of times a week it happens like clockwork for me, the reactivity about something, and I'm like, you're not being reasonable. This is not reasonable. And I'm like, yeah, well, this train's bound for glory, so just hop aboard because the rage mobile ain't slowing down for logic. But Ryan, that's where the yoga comes in.
This is like full circle. Jay and I were talking about when it does kick in, when you do have the ability to self-regulate a little bit, and now we're switching gears and talking about when the rage train is
Bound for
moving
glory.
about, is bound for glory. So that was my pride experience.
Yeah, there were an awful lot of straight, self-identified straight folks on my news feed recently wearing rainbows and having a good time. I'm not judging.
I want
I'm
everyone to have
observing.
I want everyone to have a good time at Pride. I just also want there to be some awareness of like, it's a really problematic thing when you look at the people who are sponsoring it and like,
TD Bang North Garden.
Or even like, so I forget what podcast I was listening to, but someone was talking about being at Pride in New York for the first time, which wouldn't have been this year because I think Pride, New York Pride is this weekend or something like that. And being at the Stonewall, which is where Pride started, and feeling like really like touched to be at the Stonewall on Pride and like reflecting on the significance of Black, trans, gender nonconforming folk, doing an anti-police action, basically. Then looking at the plaque next to Stonewall, which was like all covered with the placards of the companies that were sponsoring NYC Pride, and just then reflecting on, wait a second, what's all of this? And if you haven't, if you're listening and you have not watched both the Netflix documentary about Marsha P. Johnson, you should. And then there's also a like movie that is being made about specifically about the events around Stonewall, made by actual trans folk, as opposed to the weird whitewashed version that came out a couple years ago. So I will put both of those links in the show
Thank
notes,
you.
because those are I haven't obviously the other the one the narrative movie is in post-production last time I looked at the website, so I haven't seen that, but it looks interesting. And the documentary was great. And it's also sort of like this story of a person trying to figure out how she was murdered. So there's like both these great historical through line of the gay rights movement in New York, and then also like this weird like true crime aspect to it. So it was a really captivating documentary. So definitely watch that. And now I lost my train of thought because now we're down the rabbit hole of Netflix recommendations.
Can I take us further down the rabbit hole just for a hot second, and
Yeah,
then
go
we'll
right
wrap up?
ahead.
I last night Nick and I went to see Hereditary, and I want to die. I'm not going to give anything away
I
because
don't know what that is.
it's Toni Collette.
I love
Yes,
Toni Collette.
me too. I don't feel right.
Don't feel right? Okay. Is it like, is it a
Excited.
horror movie?
Yes.
Okay, I don't know that I, as much as I love Toni Collette, I'm not big on horror movies.
Yeah, no, neither am I. And yet
Okay.
it happened. Don't go alone. Don't watch it
Okay.
alone. But I do think I wish I could talk. We'll have to wait till the cultural moment of this movie ends so that I can talk about it openly about.
Your feelings.
Yeah, but somebody out there, please watch the movie so we can talk about it. I don't feel good.
Speaking of, well, no, I won't go down the Toni Collette rabbit hole. Is free association with Ryan and Kate.
It really is.
We should just rename the show.
Unroll. No, fucking Unrolled is perfect
Yes,
because
no, it's
it's
fantastic.
Unrolled.
It's fantastic.
Ryan,
Yes.
there was something else that you texted me that was sort of a swirling thing happening to you specifically
Oh,
during
I don't
Pride.
know that I can talk about that on the podcast.
Damn it.
Let's just say, let me just couch it as this. I think in the interest of queer I'm gonna go as far as to use the word liberation, and in the interest of normalizing different forms of healthy relationship in terms of primary partners. I think if you are going to present yourself as a heteronormative white picket fence couple, even if you are two men, but that is not actually the relationship that sustains your partnership, that it's worthwhile to be open and honest about that. In fact, I feel like it's worthwhile to be open and honest about that. I'm just gonna say that.
Well, what's at stake if you're not?
Perception by other people who are coupled and straight as less than.
But they were at the parade, Ryan.
Well, but no, this is actually more of a thing, I think, with, I think there's more stigma around it if you're a straight couple who does not have who has any form of open relationship. I think there's way more stigma in that regard. But I just feel like in the interest of, there needs to be more voices out there, both with couples of every gender need to vocalize how their relationships work. Not in a like graphic way, but just to be like, you know what? This is when, especially in the world of Instagram and Facebook and all of this, it's like it's really easy for there to be unintentionally, usually I think actually is unintentional, this picture of normativity. And I think we do the next generation of queer folks a disservice by not being open and honest about the wide variety of relationship styles and agreements that exist out there. And not even for the next generation of queer folk, for the next generation of all folks.
Agreed.
Like this, especially for it might even be more for folks who might eventually ident kids who might eventually identify as straight. For there to just be there to be a norm around discussing the agreements that exist in partnered relationships. That's what I would like. That's what I would like. And I'll leave it at that.
I think it's just true across the board. There's a very, very narrow range of acceptable ways to be
Yes.
coupled and what happens once you are, which is a very Puritan way of saying talking about like intimacy and sex
Yes.
and frequency and other relationships. It's just, you know, we forget sometimes, or I forget sometimes, how close we are still to, you know, the Puritans.
Yes, absolutely.
Like that's real legacy,
Yeah.
backwash that continues to weave
That
itself
is, it is
fluidly.
exactly backwash. That's what it is.
Like our work.
Can I call this episode Puritan Backwash?
Oh my God, I love it. Please do.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, the legacy bequeathed us of working ourselves to the bone
Yeah.
and, you know, being Barbie and Ken down below,
Yes.
and, you know, is always old.
Yeah.
I don't know. But then I also remember that they ate a teenage girl in
What?
Jamestown.
Oh.
Earlier, there's a hard winter in Jamestown, and they just discovered a skeleton, and it was very clear that they had eaten the girl.
Great. Fabulous.
So, you know, they were a little kinky too. It's not funny.
Oh, good times.
Oh, I
Good
made a leap.
times.
So originally we had planned on discussing everything we have been discussing.
Yes. But now you want to pivot?
Well, no, this is me awkwardly pivoting
Oh,
to
great.
the
Okay.
portion we want to talk about. So I was doing some reflecting. So I had a photo shoot. I'm going to tie this all together. It's going to surprise even you, Ryan. So you know, I'm teaching it down under, and they take care of marketing photos for their teachers, and it's kind of freaking awesome. So I had my photo shoot, and you know, I have strong feelings about photo shoots in general.
Yeah.
But I appreciate that, you know, I have some new professional pictures. I appreciate that. But you know, it's also fucking hard. Like I don't, you know, photography and yoga to me have a problematic history. And but I'm not even going to go down that rabbit hole of photography and yoga in general. I'm instead going to reflect more on my personal response, which is, you know, here I am 9 months and change after delivery, and my body has changed over and over and over again since then, and continues to change. And, you know, it is what it is. I don't, like, in the privacy of my own home, I'm comfortable in my body. But, you know, when all of a sudden my body is going to be on public display, you know, I know people that have, you know, they gave birth more recently than me, and all of their, you know, so much of their social media is about, like, getting a body back as if it was lost.
Yeah.
And, so I think all of that is vapid fucking nonsense, but the thing I've been reflecting on is, that, you know, I identify as a plus size yoga teacher, and I consider myself part of the health at every size and size positive community.
Mm-hmm.
So I consider myself part of that community. And yet I'm struggling because in this photo shoot, I definitely look like a thick, lovely young woman. And
I saw some of the pictures.
I'm a big girl, and I think the pictures are gorgeous. But my body's changing again. So I've been going through, like, some real reflection on my sobriety.
Mm-hmm.
And it's led me to a place where I realized with some alarming clarity that I have the tendency to treat food in a similar way that I do alcohol, meaning that I use it for things other than mealtime hunger, you know, like everyone. So this is where it becomes problematic, because it's like, well, yeah, so does everybody. But I really, from the location of curiosity about sobriety, have been approaching my food through that lens, and the result of which has been pretty rapid weight loss.
Yeah.
And, you know, I still pass as still a big girl, you know, not, but if I continue to go down this path of approaching food through the lens of addiction, my body won't pass eventually. And then all of a sudden I'm going to be dismissed from one community and reluctantly observed from another community as, you know, a thinner bodied white woman. At least I'll be middle-aged though, and my skin will certainly be quite slack.
Yeah.
If not, delightfully, like, deflated sails on a ship. I'll still be other.
Yeah.
But I'm really struggling, Ryan, with both the responses I get and how I feel internally about the possibility of exiting a community I care deeply about, and how do I still be of service and support people in fucking larger bodies. I still am in a larger body, but I'm thinking to the future, like, man, if I keep this up, because I've been enjoying my new relationship with eating. It's felt similar to how I felt when I had a different relationship with substances.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Are you, have people, is it rapid to the point where people are making maybe slightly problematic comments of, like, oh my God, you look so great now?
I'm starting to get a couple of those, uh-huh. But to be honest, after I had Frankie, I put on like most people put on weight during the pregnancy. I put it on after. I put on a whole bunch of weight. So it's that weight coming off first. Gotcha. And so I think people are just like, oh, she's losing the baby weight. And and people are still sensitive enough not to talk about that shit.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's around the corner if I keep doing what I'm doing that, you know, I've heard a couple, you know, things. And it's hard because there is a hard line, you know, there's varying degrees in the size positive community of if you diet, you are not one of us. And I'm like, well, this isn't a diet.
Yeah.
I don't consider this a diet. I consider this a rearranging of how I view food in my life.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to lose weight.
Yeah. You're just eating in a way that feels healthy.
Yeah, I'm trying not to use it. Like, I'm trying not to use food the way I historically have been using food.
Yeah.
You know, and part of that is like, I don't know. I feel fucked because I feel like anybody that is truly in the size positive community that's listening is saying, oh man, they got her. She thinks she's doing it under this she's doing it under the umbrella of addiction, but really she just fell into a new, you know, and I am aware of that as a very real possibility.
But don't you think, I don't know, this is where it like, so certainly when there is a part of me when anyone is discussing like whether they're talking about it as a diet or whether they're talking about it as just sort of rearranging their habits in terms of food and their relationship to food, like there is a part of me that like is like, oh, like that can go awry really quickly because I've done that and it's gone awry really quickly. But I also, I don't know, like if someone were listening and identified with the size positive community and were thinking that like, oh, they got her, like I could see where they would get to that, but also like they don't know you. Like I trust you to take this as far as you need to take it and become aware if it starts to become restrictive. Like, I trust you to do that. But I also know you. So it's like, sometimes when we get into these, like, conversations about quote-unquote identity or identifying with, it's like, sure, but then there's also, it's like a huge group of people that are judging from afar. Which is always a little strange to me.
That's true. I just, you know, I've read enough, like if you have no idea what I'm talking about, reading anything by Virgie Tovar is a really good place to start. She's an incredible scholar on the topic of living in a larger body in America and all the profound implications of staying and celebrating the body you're in at any size, you know, and she's not, you know, like the size positive community isn't like out there telling people to live in any size body in particular. They're just saying like, you're allowed to be and take up space and be completely whole and healthy and fat at the same time. All of those things can coexist. And I totally believe that. But we all, the thing that we have to talk about is understanding the reasons why people are thin and why people are fat.
Yes.
Like there are many different reasons. Like some people are working with thyroid issues that make it so much easier for them to be overweight, and some people are working with, you know, they have a brain that is predisposed to use food in a certain way. You know, that's like, there are studies done on this. There are mice that, you know, will eat themselves to death. And there are mice that will, they'll just eat themselves pleasantly plump, you know, and then there are mice that are indifferent. But like the fact is, bioindividuality is a very real thing, and it informs the politic of the situation. And that's where I get uncomfortable and uncertain. And that's where I'm sort of in this really interesting transitional place where I'm like, well, what if I am more curious about, you know, what is in my family history and what behaviorally is in my family history and, you know, nature and nurture that have led me to have the particular body that I have. And what if I started to reimagine my relationship with food in the way that I reimagined my relationship with fucking alcohol?
Yeah.
And the results have been, I spend a lot less time thinking about food now. And I am not somebody that spent a whole lot of time thinking about food before, to be clear. But I definitely was like, yeah, I'm going to have some Cheez-Its. I'm sad. And to take that away is fucking, it was really hard, but it was not it's not restrictive. It's just saying, okay, no, you're having a feeling. I need you to have that fucking feeling, because the Cheez-It never made it feel better. And neither did the vodka. Like,
now I just tasted both Cheez-It and vodka in my, and now I want to throw up.
Don't you want Cheez-It flavored vodka though?
More than anything. Oh my god! Someone, I don't. So obviously this is a experience of someone who's not currently sober. But I was at Pride, and I definitely needed a drink to be at the block party. One of my friends went and bought me a drink. And it was assuredly vodka when I was expecting gin. And I haven't had vodka in, like, a long while. And I was like, how do people drink this? I want to die. I want to die right now. So I just... But it was, like, $8. So I, like, slowly sipped on it.
You're like, one sip, that's $2. That's $2. Awful. Oh my god, I remember when I used to think of it in terms of that. I'd look at like a red Solo cup and be like, all right, I'm paying $1.50 a sip.
Oh geez, good times.
There was another piece of that that was,
sorry, I derailed it.
No, that's okay. But the thing that's most important to me to slam home is that, like, when most people stop drinking, their body changes as well. They either gain weight or they lose weight, because drinking affects the endocrine system. It affects everything. And your body just goes through massive changes. And the same thing happens when, and like, so to be more specific about what I've been experimenting with is like not, having sugar. And that's new to me. I'd never done a complete sugar thing. And I'm like, oh my god, sugar really is cocaine to me. Like, when I took it away, I was like, oh my god. If like, I physically had a similar response like that I did when I stopped drinking. It was very real. I don't know, Ryan. I'll keep you up to date on this. And I am curious if there's anybody. What I don't want is a bunch of fucking comments that are like, you're getting healthy. Congratulations. No, fuck you, man. That's not what is about. Yeah. Like, this is through the lens for me of not hiding or medicating with external sources, you know. And I also like that I'm giving less money to corporations.
That's real.
That feels fun because, like, most of what I'm buying, I'm sure, I'm sorry, fucking ConAgra, I'm sure owns a lot of fields where I'm buying vegetation, but
yeah,
I do like that I'm like not
supporting Nabisco,
yeah,
or with Nestle or whatever.
yeah, there's
who owns Cheez-Its?
It's got to be Nabisco.
It's gotta
Let's
be.
Look. Cheez-Its. Who owns them? Kellogg.
Oh.
Sunshine Biscuits.
What?
It's the owner is Kellogg Company, and then it says in parentheses, Sunshine Biscuits. God. Previous owners were the Green and Green, the Keebler. This is fascinating. I can't. Trigger food. But yeah, anybody out there I'd love to hear if you're experiencing something similar, especially if you're in the size positive yoga community.
Yeah.
Email us. I don't know. The point is, I'm watching the potential for my quote unquote identity to start shifting in regards to the yoga community, and it's disorienting. Mm-hmm. Or I anticipate it being vaguely disorienting. It's not disorienting yet, because mama's still thicker than a Snicker.
All right then. Did we talk about yoga at all?
Yeah. Like the whole time. It's like,
yeah,
all
you're
we were
right.
Talking about.
The whole time. The whole time. The whole time.
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 Well, we'll get more into asana next week in our episode, Triangle Pose. Why you need it? Why you love it?
What poses did you get photographed, my dear?
I don't want to talk about it, Ryan.
Tell me.
None of them fall under the 1973 vinyasa canon.
Oh, fantastic.
No, that's not true. One of them did. I did a restorative.
Lovely.
Shape. And I laid down on a blanket. That was one.
That was one. Great.
That was one. And then the other one is, it's a, and Sammy referred to it as a ballet move, which I'm sure it does have history there too, but it's just a standing side bend.
Sure.
You know, super fancy.
Super fancy.
And I don't know what the other one was. I don't know, but Frankie crawled into a couple of the pictures and those are my favorites.
I think I saw some of those. Those are pretty great.
Yeah, she is a... She is a... A-plus baby coming out of a B-minus body. You know, I think everybody probably thinks of that about their Australian. But I look at her and, you know, Nick and I are not, like, super hard to look at, but she's much better looking than us. It's very... It's disorienting. That's my word of the day.
Disorienting.
Someone's taken me away from the East. Oh my God, I'm going to Dave Chappelle and Jon Stewart tonight.
Oh, wow.
And they make you lock up your phones in these little things called, what are they called? Yonder bags. It's a little bag that Dave Chappelle insists happen at all of his shows now. You put your phone in this little bag and then they lock it. They lock the bag. So you keep your phone, but it's locked in a bag. And then if you need to undo it, you know how they had those safety tags at retail stores, the little clips that you would like
sure,
put in.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
So it's like that to get it out.
Oh.
And I was just imagining all the potential ramifications or, you know, the implications for other industries.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, as somebody that's like wants to constantly check her phone to make sure that my baby's okay.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I think it's eh. But like, I like the idea.
Yeah.
And my phone gets alerts. So, I mean, my watch gets alerts. So I can always look at my watch and see if something's going awry.
That's fair. That's fair.
And then they'll put the whole body in a bag. No, you can't get out of your body bag until the show is over.
They'll lock you into your seat.
No, that's fair. All right, well, this has been Unrolled.
Yes, it has. And I feel like may be a couple of weeks until the next episode because I'm going on a meditation retreat in Colorado.
That means Ryan's gonna come back wicked weird. Ryan's gonna come back wicked weird. He's gonna be quiet. She's gonna be quiet. You're gonna be quiet. It's gonna be amazing. So quiet. The pregnant pauses will become exponentially longer. I'm so excited. When are you back?
July 3rd. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so it might not be till after then.
We'll make it happen. We will. Okay. You can email us unrollpodcast@gmail.com, facebook.com/unrollpodcast, Instagram, unrollpodcast. What else am I missing? Thank you as always to all of our wonderful Patreon folk who are out there helping us stay afloat. And I think that's all.
Look forward to hearing from you. Godspeed.
Godspeed. Bye.
Bye.